Chapter 6, and we start in verse 27. Okay, and I'll pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here. We're thankful for another day, and a day where your mercies are new, and a day where you continue to be faithful. As we open your word, we pray that we would learn from you. Help us understand the meaning and the application of your word to our lives. We pray for the children downstairs that they would know of your grace and your love and your truth, that they'd grow in these things, that they'd grow in faith. And Lord, that all of us would be your disciples, your servants. We need your grace and your Holy Spirit to do this. So we pray that would be the case. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in Luke 6, and Reuben got us partway through the chapter. Hard to get more than half a chapter in the book of Luke. There's a lot in it. We'll see if we can finish it off this morning, chapter 6. And so this is, as we go through it, many of you will notice it's similar to the book of Matthew and the Sermon on the Mount, but not quite the same. And it's not the same account. This is the Sermon on the Plain. We saw earlier that this is in a flat area, so we look at this as a Sermon on the Plain. And here's the thing. Jesus was preaching and teaching and healing, working miracles through many towns and cities. And we saw in Luke 4:43 that what he was doing was preaching the kingdom of God. So that, of course, is the gospel, which hadn't quite been fulfilled yet. We're prior or pre-cross and resurrection. But it's the good news of the kingdom. And as Jesus preaches the kingdom of God, there's a lot to learn about the kingdom of God. So when you see things like the Sermon on the Mount, or here we're in the book of Luke, and Jesus is teaching, he would have taught the same things in many different places. So we have some of the accounts. But he taught and taught and taught, and as the Apostle John put it, there wouldn't be enough, I'm paraphrasing, but there just wouldn't be enough books in the world. The world could not hold it all if we were to write down everything that he said. And so as we go through this, I was struck by the fact, or reminded, that because Jesus teaches, and we'll go through it, there's some pretty clear teaching that is mostly, I believe, fairly easy to understand, hard to apply. And so there's some hard-hitting stuff in this chapter. And these are the things that we, when we're going through life and making decisions and interacting with people, and we think about our perspective on life, it should be shaped by these kind of things, what Jesus is teaching. Principles of the kingdom of God. We get overwhelmed, or it's just a constant thing where we are being hit by principles that are coming from earthly kingdoms, or the flesh, the world, the forces of darkness, but it's all like temporary stuff. And we need to be aware that it's very important that we understand kingdom principles, and then, you know, am I living that out? So these are passages like the Sermon on the Mount, this passage in Luke. These are great passages to weigh our actions, our interactions, our attitudes against. And I think we'll find that it's quite convicting when we do so. And that should then cause us to go before the Lord and say, help me, Lord, to walk this out. And thank you for helping me grow in this. Because I do believe as we follow the Lord over time, you know, we see that we haven't arrived, but hopefully we also see where he's brought us from as well. So let's get into our text here now. Verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. But this isn't real hard to understand. It's just difficult to apply. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. So the person that you can't stand the most, who treats you the worst, who is completely unfair, cruel, all this stuff, do good to them, love them. What does love look like? Well, we can go to places like 1 Corinthians 13, see a description there. It is self-sacrificial kind of love. It's patient, kind. It's not self-serving. It's humble, long-suffering. But love and do good. Bless them. If someone curses you, says something bad, don't say something bad about them. Say something good. Bless them. Pray for them. And really, that's very practical and powerful. Pray for them. God has the power to do as he pleases with that person, the one that you find so difficult. I'm going to read from Romans 12. It's the same, speaking on the same topic. So Romans 12, starting in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So with everyone, as much as we can. It doesn't mean, it does take two to have peace, but as much as we can do. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Okay, so we're not to seek vengeance or revenge, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So understand this, that God is on the throne. He is the judge. And there's things we must leave in his hands. We can try and deal with it, but God says, don't. That's my place. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's a great verse to remember. Do not be overcome by evil. And then how do we overcome evil? We do it with good. We do it with the gospel. So, what Jesus talks about, loving those who spitefully use us or do all this evil towards us. those who hate us. The love is not, you know, just like some fuzzy feeling, like loving them. No, that's not what we're called to do. We may never get that. Love for our enemies is to be one that does something for them. It has action. It's our attitude. And it's very much apart from how we feel about them. So if we say, well, I don't feel like I can do it, that doesn't matter. And that's hard. And I realize it's hard. We're going to go through a bunch of other hard things. They're good things, but when you think about it, loving those who hate you and persecute you and do all kinds of evil, that's not easy. And Jesus doesn't say that it's easy. He said this is a kingdom principle. The world would say, get vengeance. I'm saying, love them. Do something good to them. So, there you go. Who's the worst? Think of them. Okay. Assignment, love them. 29. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. So the layer under the cloak. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. So, do to others as you would have them do unto you. Which most of us are familiar with. The teaching we're going through really takes it to, and here's how you do that, like specifically. Here's a bunch of different examples. So with these verses, to him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. With this, it may help to understand that culturally, this was the slap on the cheek was understood to mean if someone insults you deeply. It's that kind of slap in the face kind of thing, as opposed to someone striking you. But so someone deeply offends you, insults you, don't strike back. Don't attack them. Never mind just physically, but with words either. Don't return in like kind towards them. So what's Jesus not saying here? I don't believe he's saying if someone comes up to you with like a baseball bat and takes a swing at you and clips you with it, you should just stand there and let them take another free shot. No. So, someone insults you, don't give them the same back. Not do unto others as they do unto you. That's not what we're called to. Again, so it's love them, be kind. Don't react in the flesh is really what Jesus is saying. Don't react in that flesh response. We're to react with the fruit of the Spirit. Someone takes your cloak, which was a thing that someone could take your, kind of like your coat in the time. But Jesus is saying, okay, well, that's acceptable. So that was acceptable culturally. Don't stop there. If they want your shirt too, kind of for our time's understanding, give them that as well. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. This is Jesus expects a lot from our attitudes, right? Because it's out of our heart and our attitude that our actions come. So Landon, don't expect to see that thing again. But it's my stuff. People need to look after it. And there is an element of that. Like, as Christians, if we are borrowing something, I believe we should give it back. But kingdom principles, if you lend something, don't. It's like, I'm giving this. So this only works if we are trusting God and seeing that everything we have is a gift from God. And then we are simply gifting someone else or sharing with someone else or giving away something that God has blessed us with for a time. And it's hard not to kind of think, well, I'd like to be blessed by that thing again when they give it back. But Jesus, Jesus is saying, amen. Yeah. Like I said, there's some tough stuff here. And because these are kingdom principles, so there is, we don't have time to get into it all this morning, but there is a thing of, you know, people who are trying to take advantage and manipulate and that kind of thing. So Jesus, I don't believe Jesus is saying we are to be just like willing kind of victims to that kind of thing. But these are principles to live by what he's teaching. So lend something, it's given. Well, he says it. I'm not going to try and explain further. Don't expect it back. And he's going to explain a little further. Verse 32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Sinners are the ones that do not follow God or acknowledge God. They'll love the ones that love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. So Jesus' point in all of this is, don't give yourself a pat on the back because you love those who love you. Anyone can do that. He's saying that is not hard. Hard is loving those who hate you. Loving those who don't return things. And so on. So loving those who love us isn't, you know, that's not us getting a gold star. Jesus is saying, anybody, sinners can do that. You don't need the Holy Spirit to do that. And lending only to have it returned is really, it's a very low bar. So these are, I mean, the results are actions that we're to have, but it comes out of, these are heart things, like principles that we know and understand. And then it's hard things. Do we really believe that this is the way to live? And then, of course, we need the help from the Lord to live it. So, again, I'll keep saying this, kingdom principles. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. Who is our king? God is on the throne. And if our view is one of serving the kings of this earth, or the view that our hope is in governments and societies and democracy or whatever it might be for us, we will be adopting the principles of that thing. We're to have kingdom principles. 35. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. So there is a promise to all this. Your reward will be great, and you'll be sons, so that's sons and daughters of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So it's very clear. Love your enemies, do good, lend, hope for nothing back. A lot of this tied to, like, what is our hope in? Who is our hope in? So there's an instruction here. Don't put your hope in your stuff. Keep it in Christ. Pursue the kingdom of God, not earthly things. And there's a promise, like I said, your reward will be great. How we, our salvation is not based on our works. We'll keep saying that till we go to meet the Lord, I hope. We'll keep saying that. Our salvation is grace through faith. It is clear in Scripture, though, that our actions matter. How we live does matter. So Jesus says, your reward will be great if you obey me in these things. And I'm confident in saying that the eternal reward will be much greater than the present loss, or what we perceive as loss, be it our dignity because we're not getting vengeance, or financially because our stuff is gone, you know, kind of thing. Be it just your coat. But let's face it, we can get offended when someone borrows the simplest thing and doesn't return it. God says, don't put your hope in that. And we got to note verse 36, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. This is so important, and we'll see as we get into the next section. Like, to withhold mercy when we've received so much mercy, God takes notice of things like that. Be merciful. I was thinking of this as a like an application. So in the sense of something to ponder, think about. I've thought about this. When I think about it, I just kind of go, oh, how could I ever withhold mercy? And it's like, if we consider how many times God has held back judgment in our own lives, like, I kind of think of, like, without getting depressed, like, the things that we have done wrong, right? Maybe just a couple, but the things that we have done wrong, the commands of God that we have broken, and he has not held us fully accountable for those things, like the judgment we actually deserve for that. Well, I just think about salvation, that he would die for the sin that I committed, the sin that you committed, so that we would not face judgment. He took it on himself. So then, he has held back so much, and he actually has the power to judge. It's incredible. We have been forgiven so much, and then so we're then, to say called, but it's stronger than that, it's commanded to forgive, to be merciful. So again, 36, it's not hard to understand, but just think about that situation. that where you just don't want to extend mercy. And then that's the spot where we need to go, Lord, help me with this. I want to live by your kingdom, its principles, not my own. 37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Apart from God's forgiveness when we confess, this is one that ought to keep you up at night. It does me if I think about it. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Here's a question. Would you like to be judged by the same measure you put on others? It's just a check. And it's a sobering one. Has anyone ever, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't know that anyone would really, but has anyone ever prayed that God would bring justice upon them personally? I certainly have not ever prayed that. I certainly pray for grace and mercy a lot. Usually justice is someone we pray that God does to someone else. And justice is a good thing. I'm not saying it isn't. But what we're talking about is our attitude towards others. Judge not. This doesn't mean we don't make, I'll put it this way, judgment decisions in life, because we do, and we need to. Assessments and judgments in that sense. But we are not to judge in the sense that, like, we are the judge. God is the judge. We are not to condemn. We don't have the authority to condemn. God is the judge. We are not the judge. But certainly at times we make judgments as Christians, even as the church, there's times to make judgment decisions and discipline type things. But that's not what this is talking about. This is like the lording it over, judging others, judging them with a standard we would never want applied to us, and condemning. Remember Romans 12, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not ours to have. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And yeah, this is pretty straightforward. If someone who is blind or someone who can't see is leading someone else who can't see, won't they go off course? So the practical side of this for us is if we choose to be led by the blind, the spiritually blind, don't be surprised when you end up in the ditch somewhere, like off course, kind of crashed somewhere, because the guide doesn't know where they're going, can't see the path. And this is a parable, it says. So I think we would go, well, that's obvious. You know, if I'm going to hire someone as a guide to take me somewhere, I'm going to hire someone who knows the way and isn't going to steer us astray. But the thing is, it's very easy in life to accept guidance that is coming from those who are blind. So remember, again, Jesus is talking about kingdom principles. Consider, I think this is a very, I know this is very important for all of us, is where do we get our guidance? Like, what do we let into our hearts and our minds that affects the decisions we make, affects the state of our heart, the state of our mind, our attitudes, our perceptions, our view? And does that line up with the Bible? But specifically in what we're going through, does it line up? Are these kingdom principles? So I would put it this way, because so much, we get so much information. It can be, it's definitely through relationships, but then there's just so much that we can access through media and different types of things. It's just like the volume is crazy. And here's the thing, and this is something I believe strongly, it's challenging also, is like wherever we're receiving our information, and especially teaching, so because context, a disciple is not above his teacher. Everyone who is perfectly trained or complete in their training will be like their teacher. And this applies to whether they're a good teacher or a bad teacher. Our teachers, are they submitted to Christ? Do they live by kingdom principles? Because it's very easy to go, okay, this person's, or this group, whatever it might be, they're off, but they have certain good things. Are they submitted to Christ? Because if we're just, well, we've talked about it, this reminds me, we've talked about in the past that saying, eating the meat and spitting out the bones kind of thing. It's like, why eat garbage and try and keep what's good? Just go to the pure, good food that comes from the Lord. So this is another challenging thing, but I strongly believe we really need to be assessing and going, what I'm receiving, is this kingdom stuff, or is this flesh and world stuff, or the enemy? And really, and it'll be constant. It's not like a one-time thing, but just sifting through and going, okay, this has got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go. This, it can stay. Because it's pointing me to the Lord. It's very important. The disciple is not above his teacher. Here's something to think about. Where am I receiving teaching from? Like, is what I'm intaking affecting my mind and my heart? Is it godly and biblical? Is the source submitted to Christ? Verse 41. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. So hypocrisy, like being a fake, pointing out other people's small problems while we have one that's much bigger. It's very easy to do. It's the flesh is very adept at spotting other people's problems and justifying our own, to the point where a speck can be in someone's life and essentially a lumber yard in our own, and we can't see it. And it's interesting, most of us, I think, can probably spot or sense a hypocrite, sense hypocrisy easily, except perhaps when it's in our own lives. And so, Jesus says, be careful. So be careful, and that's the instruction. If you want to judge someone else, just stop. Consider your own life. I'm to consider my life. You're to consider your life. Doesn't mean never correcting anyone. It doesn't say not to remove the speck from the other one's eye. Jesus is saying, you can't even see properly to help them with their speck when you are in an even worse state than they are. So sort that out, and then yes, help them with that. So we are to encourage and even teach and correct and train one another. The thing is to be careful, to be humble, and not to be a fake. Verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. A tree bears fruit according to what it is. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And when it says man, I'll just remind you, man or woman. So this is for everybody. Proverbs 4:23 in the NIV, it puts it this way. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart. Everything we do comes from that. And then we see the end of verse 45 here in Luke. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Heart being, it's like the center of our will, or the center of our being. Biblically, mind and heart are not the same, but they are, like, it's closely related. So be careful. Again, I would say, like, weigh everything against God's word, like, and God's kingdom, and go, Lord, help me. I want to reject that which is of the world, that which is of the flesh, that which is of the devil. I want to be rejecting that and accepting that which is of your kingdom. Where do we find that? We find that in God's word. And passages like this hit us with some very clear principles to live by. So, don't be deceived. What we allow in will affect what comes out. Because it will affect our thoughts, our desires, our attitudes, and ultimately our actions. Okay, 46. And I wanted to get to this because, okay, Jesus has just taught some pretty, like, very clear but very difficult to live by things here. And then he says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? He's just said all these things that we might go, wow, that is tough. It's like he knows that that might be our reaction. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? And then he says this, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Its foundation was on a rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So a couple things to note here. Both the wise builder and the foolish builder heard Jesus. Right? One is the one who hears what he says and does what Jesus commands, and the other hears what Jesus says and does not do as he commands. Both hear. The follow through is the important thing. It is important that we hear, absolutely. But follow through is very important. And I would say, like, a state of our heart, do we desire to follow through? Do we desire to apply what God teaches us? And it is hard at times. And we're not, certainly not perfect at it, but what direction are we going? Are we trying to build on rock? Are we happy in the sand? Kind of thing. So, as we finish up, this is God's word to us. And this is really, it's really direct. Here's all these things. Don't be one who calls me Lord, Lord, and doesn't do as I say. We're to build our lives on God's commands. And when we do so, it's not going to fall apart. Now, we may experience trials, but God is still with us and faithful, and he will take us through those things. But if we ignore God's commands in the sense of we will not act on them, there will be a crash. That also would appear to be a promise. Great was its fall, the house that was built on, with no foundation. So with all of this, it is about our response. And I would say the correct response, well, we know what the correct response is. It's like, yes, Lord, I want to obey you. I would say the follow-up to that is, please help me. Because maybe some of you can think of that person that hates you or a situation where something else is happening. And it's like, I don't know if I can love them. I would say this. Be careful about going, God tells me to love them, but they're horrible, terrible, and so on, because you'll probably just stay in there and let yourself off the hook. Rather say, God tells me to love this person. I don't know if I can. However, I'm going to pray about it. And Lord, my desire is to obey you in this. Help me obey. And I'm going to pray to you, God, and I'm going to pray specifically for the person or the situation, whatever it might be. So seek God, be in fellowship with those who can help and encourage. Not everybody needs to know what you're going through, but it's really good to have a couple of strong brothers or sisters to help. You know, people you can ask for encouragement and accountability. Like, I'm trying to love this person, but I don't know how, and I don't want to. But I do want to because God tells me to. We're not to do all this in our own strength. Like I say, this is challenging stuff, but it's good stuff. It's the kingdom of God that we're growing in when we obey God in this. And we will bear good fruit as we obey him in these things. It's a promise. Good tree bears good fruit. All right, with that, I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again. And it is very likely that some of us at least are challenged by some of these things because they really speak to things that can really get us at times. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a strong desire to be your disciples, to be those who follow you and live according to your commands and your principles. Lord, I pray that we would know that we are citizens of your kingdom, we're citizens of heaven, and help us to live as such. And we do so need your help. Also, Lord, may we be an encouragement to one another as we do this. And we pray for the filling and leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives in specific situations, that we would have the attitudes and the words at the right times, and that we would display the fruit of the Spirit to those around us. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. And Lord, we want to be those who extend grace and mercy to others. So again, we thank you for your help in that. We lift up the week ahead. And Lord, we pray that we would have opportunities to share the gospel and share with others about your amazing kingdom. So Lord, yeah, grant us those opportunities, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, thank you everyone. A few things to sit with this week. And